Hello, and welcome to episode 138 of SMARTS, which, as you know, stands for Small Massachusetts Arrival Radiates True Sweetness.
Aww.
Aww. So as we record, I am Julia Guglia of internet fame, Dash Podcaster, and with me as always is...
Rudiger Q Podcaster, aka Trevor.
And we are now parents. Little baby Rudiger Jr. is joining us on the podcast.
Junior,
he everything. He's joining us on the podcast today, currently with not much to say on account of, you know, infancy and sleep. And if you hear him during the course of this podcast, you will understand that the gurgling is coming from neither of us.
That's right.
Okay, so with that, I think it's time for the news.
Yes, it is. So a fair bit of TV news this week. So we know that the DC streaming service, digital service, whatever they end up calling it, is coming out, will have a bevy of TV projects attached to it. We currently know about the season 3 of Young Justice, we know about the Harley Quinn animated series, and we know about the live-action Titans series that Geoff Johns is producing. But last week, they announced a new live-action series that will be joining that slate. So the series will be called Metropolis.
Oh.
It is from the... executive producers of Gotham.
Okay.
And it focuses on a time before Superman arrived in Metropolis, and Lois Lane and Lex Luthor are going to be the main characters.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be Lois Lane, investigative reporter, and her scientific advisor, Lex Luthor. Like, before he turns evil, he's going to be like... It's going to be basically the two of them investigating crimes, I guess.
That's really bizarre. What a concept.
Well, I mean, the idea that Lex Luthor was a good guy before Superman showed up.
That part I don't disagree with, but the fact that he'd be out on adventures...
Well, I'm not sure, like, he's out on adventures. I picture it maybe more like Walter and Olivia from Fringe. Like, okay. Maybe he's like... this is just me supposing, but he's like back in the lab being eccentric, and she's the one that actually goes out and investigates things. I could see it. You know, it's all in the execution. I could see it. It's an interesting thing to have, like, yeah, a buddy cop series with Lois Lane and Lex Luthor. And presumably we'll see other, you know, proto-versions of other,
sure,
Metropolis regulars, like Perry White and maybe...
Or Kid Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, and like
or
little yeah, you know, mini John Corbin and mini Rudy Jones and mini Leslie Willis. And, you know, we could see other... You know, younger.
These are all names that are names.
Well, you know them. Metallo, Parasite,
oh,
Livewire.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
But I imagine it being, I mean, Gotham, but maybe with more of like a hard-boiled journalist bent as opposed to like a wacky family drama slash whatever Gotham is, police procedural.
Sure.
So yeah, so it could be interesting. And that's going to be a new series that's coming to the DC digital service. The series itself launches at the end of this year. We don't know when the series is. I mean, they haven't cast anything yet, so this might not be there for launch. Like the Titan. I mean, the Titans has been filming for a while now, and the Young Justice has been in production for a year. So those will be there for the launch, but this might be like a 2019 launch.
Yeah, to my understanding, Lex Luthor was a businessman. Like, that's how he cut his chops.
In some versions, in the original comics, he was like a scientist.
He was a
genius boy scientist until Superboy made him lose his hair, and then he decided to become a super genius criminal.
Well, you know, my hair is very important to me. If I ever lost it, I'd definitely become a super criminal too.
The idea of him being a businessman was only introduced in the late 80s Man of Steel relaunch by John Byrne because of the whole Wall Street corporate tycoon Michael Douglas in Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, greed is good, kind of go-go culture of the 80s.
Yep.
Since that was kind of what a villain looked like to people in the 80s, was a high-powered executive that didn't care about the little guy.
The personification of the man.
But for the 45 years before that, he was just a career criminal. He didn't have a job, you know.
Oh,
and so but the idea of him being a businessman is sort of...
New.
Well, I mean, it's 30 years old at this point.
I'm saying newer.
Even now,
75...
Even now, you'll see different interpretations. Like, in a lot of versions, he'll start out as a businessman and then become a criminal who's on the run from the law, or he'll be a criminal that goes straight and becomes a businessman, or he's a little bit of both. Like, he's secretly a criminal while being a businessman. So these days, the versions kind of tend to merge the two. But, you know, there's history there for him being one. I could see him being, like, the new young... I mean, maybe kind of like what they tried to do with Jesse Eisenberg in Batman v Superman, like a young tech entrepreneur with a chip on his shoulder, new to the city.
Yeah.
He strikes up a friendship with this firebrand Lois Lane reporter because she's maybe someone in his employ dies and she investigates it, and they strike up a friendship, and now she calls on his help for each new case that she has to investigate. It might be a fun kind of buddy cop kind of thing.
You know what it makes me think of, oddly enough, as soon as you said the premise? It made me think of Castle, because this is exactly what happens.
I'll have to take your word for that, but yeah, I'm vaguely aware of the premise.
I like the show. It's a guilty pleasure. Anyway, I won't get into it, but the idea that a cop needs resources or information from an unusual source, like e.g. an author or e.g. a scientist or something, and that person becomes their go-to sort of consultant from week to week. Tune in to see what sort of wacky adventures will bring this pair together again. That should be fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm interested.
So the other bit of TV news this week is that the Titans live action series, like I said, has been filming for a little while now. Geoff Johns tweeted an image which showed the front of the script for the fifth episode of the first season, revealing the title of episode 105 of Titans. And the title of that episode is Doom Patrol.
Oh, no kidding?
So we know we're getting now the Doom Patrol in live action in the fifth episode of the Titans
show. I'm trying not to squeak too loudly and wake her.
I could see this being, I mean, God knows the CW shows have gotten pretty obscure with their DC Comics references and pretty deep with their obscure characters and stuff. But since this digital service is going to be aimed at hardcore DC fans, I could imagine them going even, like, they're not going to have to worry about having, should we put them in costumes? Right. Maybe the audience won't, they can go full on with the costumes, yep. Code names, all the crazy stuff, because these are DC fans that are paying whatever it's going to be, $5 a month or whatever, to watch these shows.
Yeah.
So they put the Doom Patrol in there, have whatever else show up, So I'm excited to see that. I mean, Geoff Johns really likes the Doom Patrol too. I mean, he's done some cool stuff with them. He's a Teen Titans writer probably before he's much of anything else historically, aside from maybe a Flash writer, but he's done some stuff with the Doom Patrol too. And so I think that, and getting a, I don't know what version of the Doom Patrol, it could be the classic version, Robot Man, Elastigirl, Negative Man, and the Chief, or they could pull from some of the newer characters like Flex Mentallo and Crazy Jane, and maybe even some of the characters from the recent Young Animal relaunch, like, Casey and some of the others like that. But yeah. And traditionally, of course, in the comics, Beast Boy was a sort of a mascot psychic member of the Doom Patrol before he was a Titan, because his adoptive parents, who took him in after his parents died in the same jungle accident that gave him his Beast Boy powers.
Yep.
The parents that took him in were Rita Farr and Steve Dayton, Elastigirl and Mento of the Doom Patrol.
Yep.
So he called them mom and dad. So the Doom Patrol is like his family, and the Titans are his friends. So that's when they have the old Teen Titans cartoon from 15 years ago had the Doom Patrol show up, and that was there in there too. They came to see Beast Boy because he was one of them before he was a Titan. So the crossover there actually works pretty logically.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Beast Boy was in the Doom Patrol. That's cool. I didn't know.
He had purple skin back there back then. It went by Changeling, and then he changed his name to Beast Boy when he joined the Teen Titans.
And now Changeling is in the future as part of the Legion, am I right?
No, there's no Legionnaire named Changeling. I'm not sure who you're thinking of. Are you thinking of Chameleon Boy?
Chameleon Boy.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we're playing 6 degrees of separation now.
Yeah.
So the other news this week is comic book related. So we talked a little while ago about big superstar Marvel writer Brian Michael Bendis has signed an exclusive contract with DC to write something, right? You remember talking about this?
I do.
A creator of Powers and Jinx and Scarlet and Lunked and Miles Morales and Jessica Jones, revitalizer of the Avengers and Luke Cage and Daredevil and a million other properties, signed an exclusive contract with DC a few months ago, but nobody's known what he's going to be writing. People speculated, well, he's sort of a natural fit for Batman or The Question, given his predilections. But DC announced about a week ago that they are giving him the reins of the Superman franchise.
Wow.
So starting in May, he'll be writing both Superman and Action Comics. I have to assume that both titles are going to go from biweekly back to monthly. I can't imagine he's going to be writing 4 Superman comics a month. I imagine he's going to be writing 2. So I think they're probably going to go back to monthly. His run will begin with a short story in the upcoming Action Comics number 1000, which will have contributions, like we've talked about, from a bunch of different writers and artists.
Right.
So he'll contribute a short story to that, which will set up stuff for his run.
Oh, cool.
Then in May, there's going to be a weekly miniseries called Man of Steel that will kick off his run. And then when that weekly miniseries ends, his run will begin proper with the next issues of Action Comics and Superman. This actually calls back to something we just talked about 30 years ago when DC rebooted Superman after Crisis on Infinite Earths. Mm-hmm. They got John Byrne, a big creator had made his name at Marvel, to come over and relaunch Superman for DC. And when he relaunched Superman and retold his origin, he did a miniseries called Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. And then when that was over, he took over the main Superman books.
Oh, cool.
So they're kind of doing the same thing here. Now, they're not rebooting him again. All the stuff that's been going on,
it's,
you know,
still
they're not throwing out the marriage. They're not throwing out John Kent. They're not throwing out any of that stuff. This is going to be a continuation of the current stuff, not a reboot. But it's sort of a, it's like a relaunch, you know, a rebranding.
Sure.
So
cool.
He's going to do the short story in Action Comics 1000. He's going to do the weekly Man of Steel miniseries in May. Yeah. And I think the Superman titles will go on hiatus for that month.
Right.
And then when that is over, those series will resume and he'll be writing both of them. He says the one series will focus on like the big action spectacle adventures, and yeah, the other will focus more on his life in Metropolis and like the Daily Planet supporting cast and the police and stuff like that. So yeah, like the two sides of his life.
Yep.
In addition to that, he's bringing over all of his creator-owned books, which were published under various other imprints from Marvel and DC. They're going to be republished, reprinted, and continuing under DC as well.
Yep.
He's also going to be curating a new, what they like to call these days, a new pop-up imprint.
Mm-hmm.
Think in the way that Young Animal, almost this is the example they use in the article, in the same way that Young Animal is curated by Gerard Way.
Sure.
He writes or co-writes some of the books and sort of executive produces the others. Bendis is going to be doing the same thing for his own imprinted DC Comics. And
right,
these books, whatever they end up being, some will be co-written by him, the rest will just be overseen by him, but they will be firmly in continuity also.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a chance for him to take maybe more obscure characters that he loves and that the fan loves and give them a new push,
right,
you know, under this new brand within the DC universe. So say he has a really good story for The Question or, you know, The Challengers or, you know, even Shazam,
right,
they could relaunch them under this imprint and they'd be in continuity with the rest of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that the Young Animal stuff is kind of in continuity, like we're seeing the crossover with the Justice League now and Batman shows up in Mother Panic sometimes. It's sort of their own separate thing, but they are in continuity. This
right,
will be kind of the same thing there. So he'll be doing the Superman books and this pop-up imprint.
That's really cool.
So they're definitely putting him to work. I mean, that's at
yeah,
least two monthly books plus whatever his contributions are to this pop-up imprint, which will probably consist of at least one or two co-written books, maybe even one that he's writing by himself. But he's shown before that he can do like 3 to 4 books a month. He actually had a pretty bad health scare about a month or two ago.
Can you elaborate? Poor guy.
I'm not sure he actually elaborated, but he had something going on that delayed the last of his Marvel work.
Oh boy.
And so it was actually a thing like when they offered him Superman, they said, we'd really like you to do a story for Action 1000,
yeah,
but based on when it's coming out, he would have to start writing it like literally the day after his Marvel contract ended, and
oh,
he was going through all these health troubles, but he's like, I can't pass up the chance to write a story for Action Comics 1000, so that's going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
But he had to really push through that in order to get that to happen.
Gosh.
The other thing, which is semi-related, is that, and DC, the companies will often do this, so Free Comic Book Day, which is usually in May, it's May 5th this year, DC will be putting out a free comic called DC Nation Number 0. This will feature all new content that will be several short pieces, each of which will set up the future directions for a few titles.
Okay.
So there'll be a story that, I think there's going to be a Justice League story that sets up some of the stuff for the No Justice relaunch of the Justice League titles we talked about last time. There'll be a Superman story by Bendis,
uh-huh,
which in conjunction with his Action 1000 story will set up stuff for that run. And there'll be, I think, a Batman story by Tom King and someone else in there too to set up more of his Batman stuff. It'll be free May 5th. You know, anybody can get it or download or go into a store and get it or download it digitally. And they'll get a sense of the exciting new directions for a few of these titles. And
so is
the
it
Bendis
be
stuff
structured,
will be in there.
I'm curious, is it going to be structured kind of like the Rebirth Book Zero issue was with Flash, kind of tying everything together? Or
in it with like a single...
Right. He was
a
the
single
thread.
Story?
Yeah.
It's varied. They've done a few of these sort of sampler books, either free or paid before. And some of them feature like... a linking narration that ties the different vignettes together.
Yeah.
Others are just literally three short stories, like an anthology.
Yeah, or a holiday issue or something.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's... Well, even the holiday issues, like, remember even
well,
the
those
most
are just
recent...
stories.
But even the most recent holiday issue we read had that framing sequence of Clark Kent and John Constantine in the bar,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah.
So it varies how they do it, but we'll have to see in this case. But yeah, so that'll be coming out. So that comes out May also. So there's a lot of stuff coming out in May.
That's a lot
the
of
Bendis
fun.
Relaunch of the Superman titles and this DC Nation Zero, which will feature some of his stuff for Superman, but also some of these other short stories.
May is
up
the most
stuff.
Favorite month for all nerds, because on top of that is the May the 4th be with you.
Right. Aha. So we also get, I guess that's something else I didn't put in the news, but we got the first trailer for Solo.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so you were I think it looks good. You're kind of still undecided on Alden Ehrenreich as Han.
Yeah.
I think pretty much everybody else. I mean, Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to say Danny Glover. I know that's not right. Donald Glover.
Yeah. Oh man, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan of Donald Glover's. He's one of my favorites. I mean, we watched all the Community episodes. Anyway, I could get into it, but I won't.
I mean, it's too early to tell. I think that I think that it looks good, and I think that
Yeah, but I don't know that
he's not trying to do a Han Solo. He's not trying to do a Harrison Ford. See, in my head, sure. The two terms are interchangeable.
Yeah,
he's not trying to do a Harrison Ford impersonation. Like his voice, he looks a little like him, especially with the hair and the wardrobe.
Yeah,
he doesn't sound anything like him though. He doesn't have the sort of deep, smooth voice. He's got sort of like a scratchier, higher pitch voice, which kind of works because he's supposed to be younger, but he's not supposed to be that much younger. I don't think your voice changes that much between the ages of 22 and 28, for example, you know?
Not that much, no,
so,
especially.
But anyway, it is what it is. I mean, it's recasting. I mean, we talked about this all the time, too. Like, James Frayne, as Sarek on Star Trek Discovery, doesn't really look or sound anything like Mark Leonard, but he's written similarly enough that you're like, yeah, you can kind of squint and imagine he's the same character.
And he performs it a little bit in the same reserved manner, but that's because he's playing a Vulcan, and I think that's...
Yeah, all Vulcans kind of act the same. So,
a little. Yeah. It's true. But you know, for all that, I guess I wanted to point out that Mark Leonard had a flavor to his Vulcan performance that belied his race, I suppose. Like, he was supposed to be the Vulcan, and Vulcans don't feel. But you could see feeling in his face. You could just see his repressing of those feelings. And that made his performance so much more compelling and so much more interesting and memorable. Every moment, like, you could see the emotions just kind of play on their face and then be suppressed. And it was, masterwork. So, anyway.
Yeah, and that's it for our news.
Wow, great batch
of news. No comics of the week this week because...
Because baby.
You were too busy giving birth to a human being to read too many comics.
Yeah, and recovering from that process then.
But we do have a pop quiz.
Ooh.
A very topical quiz, because I'm going to quiz you about superhero parents. So I'm going to name the child, and you need to tell me who their parents are.
Okay.
And in all of these cases, their parents are superheroes.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay?
Do I give you the superhero identity or the...
It doesn't matter. I'm sure if you know one, you know the other.
Okay.
But you can give me either their real names or their superhero
names.
Okay, in some cases, they might not have both, because only one might be a superhero, and the other might be just, you know...
Understood.
Joe Smith.
Sure.
All right. Uh-huh. So some of these are easier than others. So number one, Jonathan Kent.
Okay, Superman and Lois Lane.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, number two, Damian Wayne.
Oh, Talia al Ghul and Bruce Wayne.
Correct. All right. Number three, Don Allen.
Oh, which one, Don or Don?
Well, the answer is the same for both.
I know. Iris West and Barry Allen, The Flash.
Correct. I will refrain from correcting you technically
West
when
Allen?
It was technically West Allen by the time she was born.
Sure.
All right, number four, Arthur Curry Jr.
Oh, Mira and Aquaman.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, number five, Helena Wayne.
Helena Wayne. Oh, this is a different story. Helena Wayne. Oh.
Well, surely
so
you
Bruce
can get
Wayne,
at least one
obviously,
of them, yes.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne, obviously, but then who... You told me about this different
version
of
the story.
So
the Earth-2 Huntress. Who is Earth-2 Huntress's mother? And Batman got old and retired and had a child with...
Oh.
Who would be the most likely person? In fact, there was a Tom King issue of Batman recently that showed a possible future where exactly this. The one where he was getting old and died at the end?
Yeah, Selena.
Yeah,
Selena Kyle.
That's right.
Oh, awesome.
All right, number six.
Yes?
Leanne Harper.
Oh, Leanne Harper. Yes. Cheshire and Roy Harper.
Correct.
Yes.
All right. Number six. Number seven. Jay West.
Jay West. Oh,
some of these you can probably extrapolate, even if you're not actually familiar with the child from the stories.
Wow. Is this another alternate universe?
No, this happened. This happened. I mean, a lot of it was lost by the Flashpoint New 52 reboot, but these were in continuity kids that these characters had in years worth of stories.
So,
well, think about it. Last name West.
Wally West.
Right.
And
who would he have had
Artemis.
Kids with? No, that's just in Young Justice.
Oh.
You know this from the
Oh,
all the
Wally
discussions in the recent Titans
with,
comics. Who was his
Linda. Right. Linda what's her last name? The reporter. Such a
Park?
Park.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I'll give you that one. That's right. They had two kids. They had Iris West the second and Jay West.
Oh.
All right. Number eight.
Uh-huh.
Jesse Chambers. I'll give you a hint. Her superhero name is Jesse Quick.
Oh.
That's different than it is in the TV show.
I know. I was about to say. Okay, so she is... She's somebody else's
father?
Daughter. She's
I'll give you a hint. Her name is very similar to her father's name.
Johnny Quick.
Johnny Quick. Do you know who Johnny Quick's wife was?
No, I
There's no way you know this. Liberty Bell, another member of the... another 1940s superhero. Member of the All-Star Squad.
Or All-Star Squad.
All right.
Okay.
Number nine.
Mm-hmm.
Lyta Trevor.
Lyta Trevor. Oh. Oh, it has to be Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman.
Right. Earth 2 Wonder Woman married Steve Trevor and had a daughter, Hippolyta Trevor.
That's so beautiful.
And then she married this next character. So number 10, Hector Hall.
Oh, she married Carter Hall?
No. She married Hector Hall. But who's Hector Hall's, who are Hector Hall's parents?
Oh, Hector Hall. Oh, yeah, that has to be the Hawkman and Hawk woman.
Correct.
Hawk girl.
Yeah, I won't make you...
I know, correct. No, Carter Hall and Shiara Hall.
Shiera Hall.
Shiera.
The Silver Age, it's complicated.
It
was Shiera Hall, and then when they reinvented them for the Silver Age and made them Thanagarians as opposed to humans, they said, oh, her name is Shiera Hall, but she just goes by Shiera Hall on Earth. Just like he was Katar Hall, and he goes by Carter Hall on Earth.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's cool. That's pretty good. So you got...
I think
some
all
number.
One.
You got like 9.5 because you didn't know who Johnny Quick's wife was.
Yeah, that's the only one I didn't.
Yeah, the old JSA family tree got complicated because you had Wonder Woman's daughter marrying Hawkman's son. And then their child, Daniel, became the current Sandman. Do you know, like in the metal comics for Reason, right?
Yeah.
Daniel, the Lord of the Dreams.
He
inherited the role from Morpheus, who was Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Wow.
And so the current Sandman, Daniel, is Hawkman and Earth 2 Wonder Woman's grandson.
No way. That's
so it gets very complicated.
Leads, absolutely. That's so cool. Well, but that look was at probably, me being a
that was such, family such, that was oriented. Such a great thing about the old JSA lineage is that those characters had been around since the 40s, and so when Geoff Johns revitalized the JSA in the 90s and 2000s, these characters had kids and even grandkids, and so you had a multi-generational, you had characters like Stargirl on the same team as characters like Wildcat, and you had characters that were pushing 100 and were alive through various means, the Starheart or the Speed Force or not having 9 lives or whatever, alongside their kids and their grandkids, and you would have, anyway, so I that's probably one of the reasons why I'm excited for them to hopefully bring the Justice Society back, because you can have the generational aspect of those characters were really,
I love it.
Really interesting.
That's
but then you got into continuity issues where, after Crisis on Infinite Earths, there was no Earth 2 Wonder Woman anymore, because there was no Earth 2. So then, where did Lyta Trevor come from?
Yeah.
So these are the kind of problems that
of course,
popped up.
Yeah, which is why they needed explanations.
They had to go back and retcon a lot of it and say that she was whatever, In some cases, they just threw up their hands and said, well, it's an anomaly. Like, how can Donna Troy exist as Wonder Girl before Wonder Woman existed? She's an anomaly that still exists or
Do
whatever.
Do you appreciate my Simpsons quote? It's the mystery of the dance.
Yes. So that's pretty much it for our show. So we watched a bunch of TV shows this week. We're slowly catching up on those.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interest of keeping this a little short, because our baby might wake up at any moment, we're going to wait till next week to talk about
it. I did want to say just that Black Lightning made me cry, like full on tears of cry. This show is rocking my world.
Yeah, so it's a really good show.
We'll get into the geekier weeds as we figure out more about parenting schedules and things of that nature. But... hopefully you have enjoyed today's show. And if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, we are @SmartsPodcast. On email, you can send a mail to mailbag@smartspodcast.com. Our website is www.smartspodcast.com. And on Facebook, we are facebook.com/smartspodcast. How about a funny sound for us?
Google.
Google gaga.